If a fish lived on land, which country would they live in? Finland. Anybody? Finland? Oh, yeah. Where do fish keep their money? In the riverbank. Wow, y'all all got that one. Okay, that's good. How do you stop a fish from smelling? You cut its nose off. Where do you find a crab with no legs? Oh, you've got the... Oh, no fair. She found my other copy of my notes. She's cheating. Right where you left it is where you find a crab with no legs. Yeah, what do you give a seasick elephant? Lots of room. All right, that's all the dumb fishing jokes I've got. I apologize. Those were not funny, but that's okay. I enjoyed it anyway. Say what? No, that one was actually the list of fish jokes I found had that joke. It did. What do you call a fish with no eye? A fish, yeah, okay. All right, tonight we're going to talk about a guy who went fishing, okay? We're going to talk about a guy who went fishing. We've been talking about Peter, and we know from our earlier talks about him that Peter was a fisherman by trade. That's what he did. That's what his family did. His family had probably been doing it for generations, okay? So Peter was a fisherman. His dad was a fisherman, etc., etc. He and his brothers were fishermen together when we first meet Peter. We're a little later on in the story right now, though. So the little background here, Peter was a fisherman. He was a grown-up. He'd been working. He'd been fishing for a living. And he met this guy named Jesus, and he quit his job. He left his job to follow Jesus. Jesus was the Messiah that the Jewish people had been looking for. And so he said, you know what? This is the Messiah, I think, so I'm going to follow this guy around. So he quits his job. He spends 3 years following Jesus around. While he's following Jesus, Jesus does a miracle. He raises people from the dead. He heals people who are sick. He gives sight to the blind. He casts out demons. He does all these crazy, incredible things. And Peter is right there for it, okay? Peter is like Jesus' right-hand man. He's like his best buddy. So Peter gets to see all this incredible stuff as he spends 3 years following Jesus around. Well, after 3 years, Jesus says, all right, it's about time for me to be done here. And his disciples, Peter was one of 12 disciples, and the disciples don't really understand. They're not totally sure what he's talking about. But what we got here, Jesus says, you know, I'm about to go back to where I came from. Basically, he's going to go back to heaven to be with God. But in order to do that, he's got to die an earthly death. He's got to die. He said, you know, they're fixing to kill me. And he says, Peter, when they kill me, you're going to deny that you ever knew me. Now, we talked about Peter a couple weeks ago, and we know that Peter is a real cocky guy. Okay, he's brash, and he tends to talk without thinking. So Jesus, who he's seen, Peter has seen Jesus do all these incredible things. But when Jesus tells him this, Peter goes, no, Jesus, I would never do such a thing. And he becomes Mr. Confident, and he's, no, I would never do that. Jesus, I don't know what you're talking about. But just like Jesus predicted, it happens, you know. Jesus gets arrested and put on trial. And while he's on trial, Peter's standing outside the courtroom area, and they're by the fire, and this young little servant girl, just a servant girl, came up and goes, hey, you're one of Jesus's guys, right? You hang out with him. Peter's like, no, I don't know. I don't know. And then a few minutes later, somebody comes up, and they're like, hey, you sound like you're from Galilee, and that Jesus guy, he's from Galilee. You guys know anybody who's got a weird accent, who's not from, like, West Texas? Yeah? She's from Switzerland, right? It's probably safe to assume. Sweden. Wow, way to mess it up. Probably safe to assume she does not have the West Texas twang. One of the girls who goes to Invictus is here from Rhode Island. She's got that northeastern accent. Yeah, it's like a hardcore borderline. Yeah, it's kind of it's almost a Jersey, Boston type accent. So just like that, you know, this guy goes, hey, wait a second, you've got that Galilee accent, and that Jesus guy, he's from Galilee, so you must be with him. And Peter's like, no, man, I'm not with that guy. I already told that other girl I'm not with her. Well, then a third person comes by and, hey, Peter, aren't you with that guy? Now Peter's angry. Peter starts cursing at the guy. Okay, he's saying, you know, this is an angry moment for Peter. He's got anger issues. But a little bit before this happened, he chopped a dude's ear off. And probably safe to assume he wasn't aiming for the ear. If, you know, just think about the logistics for a second. It'll come to you. So Peter's got anger issues. And so this third time, Peter's like, okay, you know what? I'm not with him. And he's yelling at this guy. Well, right about then, see, when Jesus had predicted it, he said, Peter, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. So before morning comes, you're going to deny me three times. Well, right after Peter denies Jesus for the third time, that rooster crows. Now, if I'm Peter at that point, I'm like, oh, man. Probably like, man, where's that rooster? I'm going to strangle that rooster. You know, the rooster made it happen. Blame the rooster. You know, and so Peter's probably mad at this point. I would certainly be mad and disappointed in myself. Well, they go ahead and they kill Jesus like he had said they would. And just like the prophecy said, 3 days later, Jesus is resurrected from the dead. Okay, nobody else has ever really done this. Certainly nobody else who ever called themselves God has ever done this. But Jesus is resurrected from the dead, and now he's alive again. And this is an unusual happenstance. I think we can all say nobody we ever knew who was dead has come back alive again. You know, especially not dead for 3 days. You know, I mean, by now he stinketh. You know, after 3 days of being dead, you start to smell funky. It's not good. So Jesus is dead for 3 days. The Holy Spirit raises him from the dead. He rolls the stone away, comes out. Well, now Jesus starts showing up around people, and he appears to the disciples a couple times. Okay, and Peter actually went and saw the empty grave. So now imagine, I want you to kind of put yourself in Peter's mindset. Now at this point, Peter spent 3 years with this guy, left his job, left his life, spent 3 years with this guy, following him, believing everything the guy said. The guy predicted what Peter would do. Despite Peter's best intentions, he did it anyways. And he let this guy down. And now this guy's alive again. He's probably in a weird place, Peter is. And so now Jesus is showing up and hanging out with the disciples. He shows up a couple times. And it's safe to say that when all the disciples are together and Jesus shows up, in fact, at one point, Jesus comes into the room without opening the door. That would weird me out. Like, oh, hey, we're all hanging out. There's Jesus. Well, how did he get here? The door was locked, I'm sure of it. And so Jesus just shows up and hangs out with them, and he lets Thomas touch his fingers and his side to prove that it's really him, that he's not a ghost. But he never really talks to Peter. Now, imagine if you're Peter. You've just betrayed your best friend, and now that dude is hanging out with you and your friends again. That would be weird, right? You would be like, hey, Jesus, what's up, man? No, good to see you. You know, like, it'd be awkward. It'd be really strange, right? You ever had that situation where, like, you and a friend got in a big fight, but then you had to still sit next to him in class, or, like, you had to go and be on a team with him or whatever. You were still working on a project or something. It's kind of like that. See, that's where Peter's at. And so he's made this big proclamation, Jesus, I'll never do that. And Jesus, you can count on me. And then he screwed up and he let Jesus down. And so at that point, Peter's thought is this. Well, you know what, man? I had my shot and I blew it. I screwed up. I had this great friendship and I blew it. I guess the only thing for me to do is just go back to where I started, you know. So he goes back to fishing. And I think a lot of us do that, you know. Especially some of you who have met Jesus, we tend to think, oh, you know, well, I screwed up. I guess I'll just go back where I started, you know. Or, man, you know, I was doing good, but then I accidentally got back in that sin. You know, I used to struggle with whatever it was. Or man, I've had anger problems my whole life, and Jesus kind of delivered me from that. But I fell back into it. I guess I'll just go back to being an angry guy all the time. That's what Peter does here. He says, you know what, I'm going back fishing. So now we're going to be in John 21. Now we've kind of caught up to the story with where we're going to be tonight. We're in John 21 if you've got a Bible on your phone or whatever, or we're going to have these scriptures up here. So at this point, that's where we're at. Peter has gone back to fishing. They haven't seen Jesus in a while at this point. He appeared twice to the disciples, but then after that, they don't really see him for a while. Okay, and so we're in verse 3. And verse 3 says, I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Leave it there, Wes. So at this point, Peter, he's had a bad couple of weeks. Okay, his friend died. He betrayed his friend. Then his friend rose from the dead, and he had to hang out with him a little bit, and that was weird. So he gave up on that friendship, decided to go back to fishing, and now he's not even good at that anymore. Peter's hanging out, they go out fishing, and they don't catch anything. They're out all night fishing. Anybody here like to fish? Y'all do? I'm not much of a fisherman myself. I don't have the patience for it. I'm a little too ADD for fishing. But imagine if you go out and you spend all night in a boat and you don't catch anything. I heard a joke about a couple guys decided to go fishing, and they rent a cabin, and they buy some gear, and they get the waders and the nice pole, and they do all, they spend like $1,500 on this weekend of fishing. And they go out fishing, and the first day, they don't catch a thing. Okay, and then the second day they go out fishing, they don't catch a thing. And the third day they go fishing again, and right as they're getting ready to leave, bite on the line, one guy catches one little fish. They spent 3 days and $1,500 on this one little fish. And one guy goes, "Man, can you believe that one little fish cost us $1,500? And his buddy goes, "Well, it's a good thing we didn't catch more than one then." Think about it. There we go. Okay, that's a little way homer there. You'll get that later. But that's where they're at, okay? They've spent all night fishing, hadn't caught a thing. And so if you imagine Peter at this point, he's got to be angry. They're probably getting a little short with one another, all the disciples. You know how when you're really frustrated, like when you're in a group and you're trying to do something and you're not doing very well, then you start yelling at one another, right? You start getting snippy and angry at each other. I imagine this is where the disciples are. They've had a bad couple weeks. Now they're fishing, and they can't even do that right anymore. They hadn't caught a dadgum thing all night. And so now they're probably starting to yell at each other. Well, verse 4 happens. Let's go to verse 4. And it says, early in the morning, so this is like dark 30, the sun is just about to come up. Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. So they don't even know who it is. This is their friend Jesus they've been hanging out with for 3 years, but they can't really tell. It's still kind of dark. They're not really sure who it is, but Jesus is on the shore. Okay, and you know how when you're on a real quiet lake, sound carries? Have you ever been out there like that? Like, sound carries. You can hear kind of everything. So imagine Jesus could probably hear them, especially if they're all mad at one another, probably yelling at one another. They're frustrated. "Man, we try this. We got to do it." You know, it's like in The Princess Bride. He's like, "Move that thing and that other thing." You know, like they're just yelling at one another. They're really frustrated, and Jesus can probably hear this. So then we get to verse 5, and this is how I know Jesus has a sense of humor. Because Jesus, he caught up to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. So Jesus can probably tell that they don't have any fish because they're yelling, and because he's Jesus, he knows these things. And so he's like, "Y'all having some trouble, huh?" Chilling on the bank. And they're like, "No, yes, we're having trouble. We have not caught anything all night." They're probably like, "What the heck? Who is this jerk on the shore out here at the crack of dawn making fun of us because we hadn't caught any fish all night?" You know, they are angry at this point, I would imagine. And like I said, this is how I know Jesus has a sense of humor, because he's making fun of them. See, it reads to me like he's making fun of them. Maybe that's just how I read things. But y'all hadn't caught nothing yet? You know, he's kind of teasing them a little bit. Well, then verse 6 comes along. And he said to them, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." Now, let's pause there for a second. Because I want you to imagine you're in this boat. You've been fishing all night. You're frustrated. You're angry. You're trying to make a living. You know, catching a fish at this point is your living. So you're trying to survive. And this dude shows up out of nowhere, starts making fun of you, and goes, "Hey, why don't you try casting on the other side?" You know, they're probably like, "Yeah, like we hadn't already tried that. You think we didn't already do that? We've been casting both sides. We've been all over this whole dang sea, this whole lake. We hadn't caught a thing. But you know what? Yeah, sure, buddy. I don't know who you are, but sure, we'll try it on the other side." You ever get sarcastic like that? I know I do a lot. And it's like, "Yeah, okay, Mr. Know-it-all, we'll try it your way." So they tossed the net on the other side of the boat, and when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. So they spent all night fishing, caught nothing. Jesus shows up. They think it's just some jokester having a good time with them. And they, all of a sudden, they do what he says, and they catch so many fish that they can't even get the net out of the water. Later, the verse says it's 153 fish. That's a lot of fish for a net. And so, we get to this point, and now all of a sudden they're like, "Wait a second, I remember this." Because earlier in the Bible, the same thing had happened. Jesus had told them, "Hey, try the other side," and they'd caught a bunch of fish. So they've been here before. They're like, "Wait a second. That must be Jesus." And they kind of start to figure it out. In verse 7, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, he's the guy who wrote the book. He wrote the book of John. He said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped himself in his outer garment, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. Apparently they're fishing in their boxers. And so he puts his clothes back on and jumps into water. I don't know why they're fishing in their boxers. I'm just telling you what I'm reading here, okay? So they figure this out. Oh, wait a second, that's Jesus. You see, Jesus is the one who knew the answer. They had a problem, but Jesus was the one who knew the answer. And the same holds true today. Jesus knows the answer to our problems. He may not always give it to us right away. He may make us wait. He may tell us no to a question we've asked because he's got something better for us. But Jesus knows the answer. So they get to this point. They're like, oh my goodness, this is Jesus. Now you're Peter again. Okay, now we're back with Peter, and he's had this terrible several weeks. His friend died. He betrayed his friend. Then he had to hang out with his friend after he rose from the dead, and that was really awkward. And so now he'd run away. He was trying to just forget this whole friendship, this whole relationship ever happened, and Jesus shows up again, and he does a miracle. And like, oh, that's Jesus. That's awesome. So Peter at this point decides, you know what? I'm going to be friends with Jesus again. What's he trying to do? He's trying to make up for it. Hey, Jesus, watch this. The Bible says they're about 100 yards offshore. Okay, it said that at the beginning of the chapter. We skipped over the first two verses. They're about 100 yards offshore. And so Peter gets out of the boat, says, hey, Jesus, watch this. And he starts swimming towards Jesus. Okay, he's getting, you know, he's swimming to Jesus. And he gets to the thing and he crawls up there. And while he's doing that, the other guys just ride the boat in. You know, they're probably like, Peter, what are you doing, dog? Like, come on, man, you know. And so they all get out of the boat. We're in verse 7 is where we just got. Okay, so Peter is working for Jesus' approval. Keep going, Wes. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. Remember, they couldn't even get the fish in the boat. They've got this, they're dragging this net full of fish. For they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. Verse 9. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. See, Jesus already had some fish. Okay, I don't know if he caught them or if he just did his Jesus thing and made breakfast. You know, I just made it appear. He could have. He did miracles like that. He could have literally just made breakfast. But I wish I had that power. That would be awesome. If I could just, all right, breakfast. Boom. That'd be awesome. But Jesus, he's got breakfast for them. He gets there and he's like, hey, yeah, bring some fish up here. I got some here, but bring your fish in. So verse 11, we've still got Peter, and Peter's still working. He says, so Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the whole net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. So again, Peter's trying to show off for Jesus. Hey, Jesus, look how much I can do for you. I swam over here, now I'm going to get back in the boat, and I'm going to drag the fish over here for you. I got it, Jesus. You ever done that? You're trying to suck up to a teacher, and your teacher's like, no, most of you guys don't suck up to teachers, but... Okay, you've seen people do that. And, you know, the teacher's like, hey, can I get someone to... And there's that kid whose hand up is before they finish the question, right? And it could be like, can I get someone to walk on hot coals? And they'd be like, yeah, I got it. You know, they're like, whatever it is, they're going to do it to make the teacher happy, right? That's where Peter's at. Peter has gone into full-on butt-kissing, suck-up mode. He's trying to get Jesus' friendship back. Jesus, watch this. I can do this. Pew, you know, I can do this. I'll get it for you. Don't worry about it, Jesus. I got it. And we get to verse 12, and Peter, he's had this terrible several weeks, and he's trying one last desperate attempt to earn Jesus' friendship back. And what happens in verse 12? I'm going out. That's not right, Wes. There we go. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. In the midst of all this, Peter is doing so much to earn Jesus' friendship back. What does Jesus say? Have some breakfast. You hungry? I got some fish. We're going to have some fresh salmon. You know, maybe some, there may have been some hush puppies involved. We don't really know. Doesn't say, but if it's a good southern fish breakfast, there was definitely hush puppies involved. You know. Maybe some biscuits and gravy. I don't know, but that's my kind of breakfast. But Jesus, he doesn't ask Peter to do anything. He doesn't ask for Peter to earn anything back. He says, here, have some breakfast. Now, did Peter deserve for Jesus to be this nice to him? No, he did not. Peter has not been particularly good to Jesus. Okay, he denied Jesus. Then when they hung out, they don't interact at all. Peter's probably standing off in the corner, just kind of trying to avoid Jesus. And even though Peter's trying to be, you know, he's trying to earn Jesus' respect back or his love back, he doesn't really deserve it. That was a good catch, right? See, we call that grace, undeserved favor, is what we call grace. And that's what Jesus gives to Peter, and we're not going to go into it, but the rest of the chapter, Jesus takes Peter aside and begins to show him grace and just say, man, you know, do you love me, Peter? Yeah, then feed my sheep. Good. I love you too. And he loves on Peter, and he brings Peter back into the fold, and he makes Peter a disciple again, and Peter ends up starting the church as we know it today. in the book of Acts, just a couple chapters after this in your Bible. And that's what Jesus does for each one of us. You see, none of us deserve grace. Some of us who have been in church and who have met Jesus, we're like Peter. We're still trying to earn Jesus' favor, trying to earn Jesus' love, and we can't. Okay, the Bible tells us that all have sinned. Okay, nobody's perfect. Anybody who thinks they're perfect in here, that's a lie, and you're still a sinner, okay? Everybody screws up. And so, because Jesus is perfect, that immediately takes us out of relationship with Him. We were created for relationship with Him, but when we screw up, it takes us away from that. And so some of us Christians, you know, we're just trying to earn, oh, Jesus, I met you, and we hung out for a while, but then I screwed up. I kind of went back to where I started, and so now I'm going to try and earn you. Watch, Jesus, I'll be good. Watch. Well, we can't be good enough. The Bible says there is no one perfect, not even one. Or some of us, we're like Peter in the way that when we're going through hard times like he was, or when it seems like Jesus isn't really involved, we start denying him in public. And, you know, yeah, you'll come to church and you'll hang out here, but then as soon as you get to school, nobody knows that you're a Christian. Nobody knows that you love Jesus. And that's kind of where Peter is at. He's denying Jesus. And Jesus has grace for that too. But there's some of you who probably never met Jesus. You say, you know what, I'm going through a bad time. I screw up a lot. You know, or maybe you're just going through a tough time, you know. I mean, just having some stuff in your life. It's where Peter was at, man. Peter was in a bad way. Wasn't making any money, couldn't catch any fish, and didn't have his buddy, didn't have his, you know, his Savior. And some of you are like, okay, yeah, that's me, and you know, I've never met Jesus before, but I'm in a bad way and I need some grace. I need some comfort. I need some help. And Jesus is that. He's the help to the helpless. He's the hope to the hopeless. He's the father to the fatherless. Jesus wants to help us out. It doesn't mean life's always perfect. Doesn't mean that everything is just gravy from here on out. Okay, Jesus himself said, his own words, he said, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but take heart. Don't worry, because I've overcome the world. This morning on Facebook and last night, man, my Facebook blew up. And I don't know, doesn't really matter which person you were voting for, but I know a lot of people who were voting for Romney yesterday. And they got really upset last night and this morning. And the Bible says, you know what? In this world, bad stuff is going to happen. Later on, Peter's going to get killed. Peter's going to get murdered. All the disciples do, I think. I'm pretty sure all the disciples end up getting martyred, except maybe John. Okay, they all get murdered. But Jesus said, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I've overcome the world. This hard stuff you think is really bad, that's in my hands. And so tonight, if you'll all just bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute, nobody looking around. Okay, if you would say, you know what, Tony? I'm in a place where I need Jesus. I need grace. I can't do this on my own. Life is too hard on my own. And I'm definitely not good on my own. If that's you, you say, you know what, that's me. But I want to meet Jesus tonight. With nobody looking around, just slip your hand up and put it right back down. You don't have to leave it up long. Nobody's going to look. This is not about embarrassing anybody. Okay, I see a hand. I see a couple hands. Awesome. You can put them right back down. That's awesome. I want everyone to say this prayer after me, and it's really simple. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place, to take my spot. I ask you into my life. I want to be more like you. Thank you for loving me, God. Amen. Now, if you just said that for the first time and you meant it, that's awesome, okay? Congratulations. It's literally the greatest decision you can ever make. I've got a Bible here. I want to give some Bibles away. So if you don't have a Bible, or anybody, if you don't have a Bible, come up here. I'll be happy to give you one. I've got several copies here, and there's some more that we can go grab if we run out. But if that's you, if you just raise your hand, you said that prayer for the first time, you've never said it before, you really meant it. You say, you know what? Yeah, I want Jesus. I need to meet Jesus. I encourage you to get involved in a youth group. Keep coming here. We're here every Wednesday night. We're here Sunday nights at 6 o'clock. Wednesdays we have dinner at 6, and then we do this at 7 o'clock. And I encourage you to keep coming, okay? Or find another youth group that's closer, whatever, as long as they love Jesus. That'll work. And grow in Jesus, because that's what Jesus called us to do, is to be disciples and to follow him. So I encourage you guys to do that. Those of you who have met Jesus, I encourage you, don't get down. Okay, know that Jesus gives grace to everybody. We can never be good enough. So when you screw up, when you get into a bad way, there's grace for that too. I'm going to pray a quick prayer, and we're going to be dismissed. After that, we'll crank up the music, and we've got some, we need to film the video announcements again tonight. So if you want to help with that, oh, I forgot to print out a script. But we'll figure that out. We'll figure it out in a minute. But if you want to do that, just kind of hang out here. We'll get that taken care of too. Jesus, thank you for being here with us tonight. Thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for everybody who's here tonight. God, I pray that as we leave tonight, God, that we would not leave the same as we got here. God, that you would change us to make us more like you, and continue to show us your grace, God. Even when we don't deserve it, just continue to lavish it on us and give us your comfort. God, we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.